This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. There was a media event today for the LIV. It included Bryson DeChambeau and David Faraday. And the LIV Golf Team Championship is coming up September 20th through the 22nd at Merido. We're going to talk with David Faraday about that and other stuff coming up here in 20 minutes. It's time now, though, for Zach Wolchuk to deliver a college football super segment for the ages. On the eve of college football season, here's Wolchuk.
Hell yes, we do have college football underway Saturday, 11 o'clock, Florida State, Georgia Tech from Ireland. We're getting it going. It is finally here, and Horns fans,
yeah,
you got a new running back. As it appears, Texas has found a solution to their running back shortage.
Earl Campbell.
They lost C.J. Baxter and Christian Clark to season-ending injuries. They're Ricky now Williams. Pulling from SMU. Former SMU running back Velton Gardner is transferring to Texas. He was previously at Kansas before he went to the Mustangs last year. Had a solid season a year ago with SMU, 505 yards, a couple of touchdowns during his stint with the Mustangs.
Wait a minute. We can, like, go and steal a player right before the season?
Apparently. Velton Gardner is transferring to Texas. He's leaving SMU and he's going to Texas. Skyline product, locally here in DFW.
Wow.
And he's able to play immediately?
Yeah.
Yep. Like, my goodness. Yep. That is, hey, it's the wild, wild west, dude. We got coaches going to Saudi saying, you want to give us some money for our players. We're going all over the place to figure out a way to make ourselves better. I got some sound in the football's finest. Coaches are calling out other teams for stealing their players. It's no holds bar, bro.
I thought there was a point in time where that was the transferring part and all that was over. There's not a day where you can't.
You know what?
You can't.
What's
leave.
His kid's name?
Velton Gardner.
Velton.
A lot of these rules now. I'll be honest with you, Brian.
Wild West.
I don't know that they.
All right. So
they're irrelevant anymore.
So like Florida State, if their quarterback wouldn't have got hurt against, you know, North Alabama or whatever that was late in the year, they could have gone and got a transfer.
Now, maybe once they actually play a game, season starts, then it's closed.
I don't know the rules.
But this is preseason now, still technically. Like, we haven't actually started the season.
But you could, like...
That might have been a loophole.
You could, like, look at somebody's roster and then see...
Okay. So it looks like this dude is... He's entering his sixth season of college football as a grad transfer.
Okay.
And... It looks as though he's been in the portal. He just hadn't. He hadn't left. Actually left.
Okay, so he
spent 3 years at KU, transferred to SMU, and now he's leaving SMU.
I have no more discussion here.
I do think the graduate transfers. The rules are a little bit different there.
Okay, that's cool. If he was in the portal and not had an opportunity and he needed to go somewhere, by all means, go. I thought maybe he was over here at the Hilltop. Practicing a little bit, and they kind of said he kind of
went. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, I don't think he was even going to be a starter for SMU.
Well, and he'd been in the portal. he hadn't even been with the team for months now.
Okay,
so this feels fair.
They're playing the free agency game, like he's a street free agent.
Right.
Is what they're doing. Okay, I see.
Now we've got another suspension in the Big Ten. This one's not for sign stealing,
though. Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz and their assistant
recruiting?
Coach. Going to be suspended one game. Yeah, a violation related to the recruitment of their transfer quarterback, Cade McNamara, who they got from Michigan.
That was last year, 2 years
ago. Yeah, 2022 this happened, surrounding improper communication with a player and his family prior to him entering the portal. So McNamara technically wasn't named in the school's news release, but it is assumed that he is the player that was brought up in this. But, I mean, if you're Kirk Ferentz and you watch that offense looked, it's like, dude, who cared?
Dude, his son got fired.
You know what's funny? Yeah, I mean, college football should be suspending. The state of Iowa should suspend him for just the torment that he's done to their fans, like just for having the least entertainment football history, and he's the one pulling the strings. But that quarterback that he was doing whatever violations to recruit was 7 of 21 for 20 yards, with an interception for a touchdown, one fumbled snap, no touchdowns himself, and was sacked multiple times in the Iowa scrimmage that took place here over the course of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's not good. So. Cade McNamara, not a very good player, but this has been self-imposed by the university in hopes that the NCAA doesn't come in and give them a worse punishment, so they'll miss the first game of the season.
So that Northern Iowa...
Yeah.
Iowa game will...
Yeah.
No Kirk Ferentz.
How could any offensive player in the country want to put that uniform on? I don't understand how you get a single recruit to want to put that uniform on. If you play defense, great place to be.
Yeah.
Until of course you're losing games 3-0.
I think they actually got an offensive lineman, like a 4 or 5 star.
They do pump out really good linemen.
Yeah, I think they got some, but you're right. But he got rid of his son.
He did.
They got rid of his
son.
He
had to.
Yeah, his son was the OC, so they got a new OC.
Yeah. And the early returns are 7 of 21 for 20 yards and a pick.
The quarterback's just not any good.
That's Cade McNamara.
Yeah, Cade McNamara.
Yeah, but again, because you can't get anybody that has any type of real legitimate offensive football acumen to want to put that uniform on.
Yeah, they're still a top 25 ranked team every year. It's crazy. Yeah. And
it's because their defense.
9-10 win in special teams.
In special teams. All three phases except their offense is, I mean, literally actively playing defense against their own defense.
They are tight end you, though, which is interesting.
Their offense is offensive.
Yeah, I mean, TJ Hawkinson, Fant, George Kittle, now Sam Laporta. Like, a lot of tight ends come out of there and are awesome.
Yeah.
So that's one position, I guess, if you're an offensive player, tight ends, I'll go play for Iowa. Now, did you see the SEC tiebreakers they came out with?
I actually, yes.
Dude, this is incredible.
This is going to make for some incredible entertainment.
So I'm really hoping we get to the final tiebreaker here. Number F is where we need to fall.
Number F?
Yeah, F or letter F. It's a number. Numbers, letters, they're all about the same. Head-to-head competition among the tied teams is number one, as it should be.
Sure.
Then we'll go to record against all common conference opponents among the tied teams.
There you go.
All right, if that's not working, we're going to go to record against the highest placed common conference opponent in the conference standings, proceeding throughout the conference standings. And if you're still following...
Now you're confusing me, but go ahead. Give it to F. What do we got at F?
We're going then to cumulative conference winning percentage of all conference opponents in the SEC. This is how we're going to decide a champion. Now, if we still can't do it there, we're going to go to capped relative total scoring margin versus all conference opponents.
I want a gunfight, Dennis.
I do too, which basically is what we're getting to at letter F here.
A duel.
Or number F.
Just a classic duel. It's the Wild Wild West in college football now.
We're doing a damn random
lean into
draw.
It.
A random draw of the tied teams.
Wow.
We're doing it by random draw.
We're putting your names in a hat?
We're drawing out of a damn hat here.
I'm just telling you, I lost a district title in football, a chance of the playoffs.
Dude.
On a draw.
This is exactly what this made me thought of.
WTY versus Carter High School.
Friday Night Lights. They flipped the coin.
Hold on,
I think this coin's looking a little bit worn. Yeah, that looks like a tails to me. It sure does, doesn't it? And the next thing you know, Odessa Permian's moving on, baby. Mm. But this is what we got going on here.
This whole thing's out of order. I don't like it. I think the NCAA should make a rule where you can't have a conference so big that everybody can't play each other. What do you want to do? 14 games? It's max 15 teams. Whoa. You know?
I just want to get to the random draw. Imagine how ticked off.
Yeah.
Like Georgia, LSU.
I would kind of
Georgia
like.
Georgia gets the draw. LSU's going
home. That would be, I mean, I the like ratings to, for that on television. You televise goodness. That. You got play-by-play. You got, I mean.
All for the
got,
draw.
You got Lee Corso putting a mascot head on who he thinks he's about to win the draw. I mean, that's
going
to be.
About, who's going to the Natty? Who's winning the draw?
Entertainment,
all right,
dude.
This is what we need. The conference, I believe it's in Birmingham is where their office is.
Of course it
but
is.
But we'll do it. It's just in Atlanta. Just say we'll do it in Atlanta.
We're going to do it at the damn 50-yard line.
Birmingham.
No, we're going to do it in Atlanta. We're going to have pick your best three players, and we'll pick our best three, and we have a chicken wing eating contest at the club.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we're going to fight to the death.
I thought we were doing chicken fights, like in the pool. We're going to have stacking up dudes on shoulders.
You pick your best three eaters against our best three eaters, and we're going to do it at the
club. You want to have an eat-off?
The eat-off at the club.
A classic, good old-fashioned Atlanta eat-off?
You know what? I think that these
teams... You say your best eaters versus my best eaters.
They might take that over.
I put my headphones on. That's just my conversation right here, fam.
I'm in on that. And eat off, three versus three.
Yeah.
I got Chief on my team.
Thank you. I was about to say, dude, so can we get some celebrity shots, man, for doing chicken wings?
What's the magic wing place? Where is that?
Magic City.
Magic City, right?
Lemon Pepper Lou.
I might have to go back to high school and catch some of them cats. There's some eaters in high school.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if they changed their lives now. You know, they got kids and everything, and lives don't change, but.
You pick your best three.
Hey, once an eater, always an eater.
You pick your best three, I'll pick my best three.
That doesn't change.
I think it's a great idea, Broadus. I mean, the amount of hoopla and eyeballs and ratings and just general conversation. This would be taking over.
It would be.
This is exactly what you want. And I think the guy who's setting records for the South Carolina Gamecocks now is probably the number one overall seed in this particular
tiebreaker. You maybe get in the transfer portal.
Yeah, you get him in the portal.
All of a sudden, everybody's vying for his services.
Yeah, that dude punished a bunch of, like, 30-something wings in 3 minutes or something crazy.
He crushed it. Well, okay, so one of these teams that could be affected is Mizzou.
Because they don't play anybody?
Well, you know, their schedule might be a little bit lighter compared to some of the other in the SEC, and they've got a good squad.
And I mean that is they don't play everybody they're supposed to play, right? They don't play... Well, yeah, they do play everybody, but it's not the powers. Am I right about that?
They've only got one team that's currently ranked in the top 25 on their schedule, and that's Carter Freeman's Oklahoma Sooners. Yeah. Okay, so they're playing they're non-conference. They're playing Murray State, Boston College, UMass, and Buffalo, and their head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, is a little bit nervous about attendance. He's begging people to make sure they come to the games.
Yeah,
but our challenge is we need to sell out this first game.
Mm.
All right, we're a top 11 program in the country coming off a Cotton Bowl win, and in my opinion, if we don't sell out the first game, then that shows me that we're not where we want to be as a fan base yet. Okay? I mean, that's just the reality of it. Don't sit on the sideline and wait. Well, it's got to be this game. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Come watch this team and be excited about this team and embrace this team. And the same challenge that I have for our players is let's have a 1-0 mindset. Let's try to be a 1-0 team and be a 1-0 fan base. Don't get excited about the game in November after the bye week. Like, I don't know what that game's going to look like. I know this week versus or next week versus Murray State's the most important game we have. And we need to sell it out because we need to show the rest of the country that we're serious about our program.
Or you could play somebody other than Murray State. It'd be a good matchup in basketball. It'd be a good matchup in basketball.
It was kind of funny.
I mean, a classic tune-up game, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It seems
like, what a chill.
It seems like a lot of teams, like A&M's playing Notre Dame. It seems like LSU's playing USC. It seems like we're seeing some teams around the country play legitimate people right off the jump.
No, you ain't lying. But Mizzou's trying to put themselves into that era, you know, LSU. Every year we're in this conversation. Yeah. This is their first time they've really kind of been relevant in the SEC going into this year.
Yeah. He said we need to be 1-0 as a fan base.
Yeah. I don't know if that really rallied the troops there, Coach Drinkwitz, but I get what you're saying.
Just pivot to a cliche whenever you're at the mic.
The Blesto list came out, and I think they had the number one ranked player in the country.
Wide receiver.
Just need the fan base to bring their hard hats to the stadium every single Saturday,
even if
it's Murray State. That's
it. Doesn't matter. All right, we need you to sell it out. We want people to know that we're real.
If our gosh dang fan base had their nose to the grindstone the same way we do in here in this locker room, okay, maybe we'd be a team that'd be top 10 instead of sitting on the outside
what
looking at 11 right now.
If I bring recruits here, we're playing Murray State. Nobody's in the damn stands. You think anybody's going to want to come here? No, that's what Coach is saying. Get out there, Mizzou fans.
Just make us look good.
Let's go. We need 1-0
fan base.
You want to know today. All right, 1-0 today. Not in October after the bye. 1-0 today. That's what I need from you. Shout out to Dylan Raiola. He's been named the Nebraska starting quarterback, touted true freshman. He's going to start against UTEP on August 31st.
Okay.
What do you think about the Huskers playing UTEP?
Oh, this is Fat Mahomes, right?
No, well, I mean,
this is
similar,
Mahomes.
Similar, yeah.
He does have a striking resemblance to Patrick Mahomes.
His dad was a center with the Detroit Lions.
Sure was, and was damn good. And I think this dude's going to be like the next great quarterback. He looks the part.
All right. Looks the part.
Watched him in the spring game. Looks badass.
Looks like Mahomes.
Looks the part.
No, but literally, he does.
Touch more, you know, bloated.
Like, tries to do everything Mahomes-esque. Like, the style of play, very similar.
But he's not, like, the same number or something.
He even asked his dad to smoke on that Joe Burrow.
Dylan Raiola, hell of a player. 6'3", 230 pounds. I'm excited there for the Huskers in Nebraska.
230, they're doing him some favors on that 230.
You think he's around 250?
I thought he had his rib cards on maybe. One day.
I bet he's actually 6'2", and he's probably 240.
6'2", 240. They're just number flipping there. All right, we got coaches that are talking about Quinn Ewers, some of the other top quarterbacks coming
Quinn
into the season.
Ewers.
One of the coaches in the Big 12, he's a Big 12 defensive coordinator, said, I think Quinn Ewers is just one of those steady Eddies. He had so much talent around him that really all you've got to do is manage the game. I don't know what he has. Oh, no. Shots fired there. Like, how damn good is Quinn Ewers? We had another coach say, Sark does a good job with play action and setting up quick game, just enough RPO stuff, so they'll find a way to move the ball. Ewers will be a good player in that league. He's got better from the first year we saw him to watching him this year. I thought he was a totally different guy. He'll probably keep them competitive. Probably keep them competitive. These aren't exactly like great, high praising words from coaches on Quinn Ewers here.
Yeah. How quickly will we see Manning then?
I mean, look, if they're struggling, then you will. Then you will see him. I mean, I don't think Texas right now in the SEC is going to be waiting to pull the trigger, but you've got a guy in Quinn Ewers who you went to a college football playoff with. I think he's got himself a decent leash, but they did lose quite a bit. I think the offensive line's going to be very good. They did do a great job in the transfer portal. Now you've got question marks to the running back position. But I think right now, coaches, when they're scouting out Quinn, it's like the talent around you is kind of what's making you. I don't know what you're doing to help make the team better just by yourself. It's pretty damning for him.
Yeah,
from some of these coaches. Milrow got some love on here, talking about he's a damn good football player. He throws the ball better than people are giving credit for, and he will kill people with his legs. Jackson Dart, I don't know about his arm.
They're saying watch Mississippi.
Ole Miss could be really good this year. Ole Miss could be making some noise.
In the West, they could be very good.
They could be. And then, of course, Wegman at Texas A&M. One coach said, I like him a lot. He was athletic. You can hit him a bunch of times, and he just keeps playing. He's a very, very talented kid. If A&M can get him to finally stay healthy, he's 6'3", 220 pounds. Maybe A&M can make some noise.
That's A&M's biggest problem is their quarterbacks just have not stayed healthy over the years.
There you go, college football.
Thank you, Wolchuk. David Faraday is one of the more interesting interviews in all of sports radio, and he joins us to talk about the big news from the LIV Golf Tour and more next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year in the nation. A segment here on The Fan brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Okay, the LIV Golf Tour Team Championship is September 20th through the 22nd at Merido Golf Club in Carrollton. That had a media day today. You can get tickets at livegolf.com. That's livegolf.com. Concerts, VIP sections, and so much more. And David Faraday joins us now to talk about it, among other things. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's great to hear you. Thanks for coming on with us. How was the event and everything? Come off right?
Yeah, it's been fine. You know, we're the guys played a little golf. Bryson, you know, DeChambeau hit a few balls with each group, and we're going to do a little sort of clinic on the 10th tee shortly.
Now, you're running here with Mr. Popular, right? Bryson DeChambeau, Mr. Popular. Now, everybody likes him. How did he pull this off?
You know, he was a different kid. I think at SMU, and just such a nerd. And but he figured it out, and he's made himself really relatable. You know, in the last couple of years, especially with the crowd, you know, he's been absolute box office.
So this is the team championship with LIV Golf. What makes this event different?
Well, it's a four-man team, and these are the you know, the team championships. It's been an individual event all year, you know, with the team aspect, but this is purely a team event now, and it's head-to-head match play, and the final round will be stroke play. You know, so it's kind of a Ryder Cup, President's Cup atmosphere. You know, a lot of these teams, you know, we have an Australian team. We have a South African team. We have a European team. It's kind of tribal, and it's really worked.
So, you know, with your experience and being able to observe this, what would you tell the golf fans that aren't familiar with it and, you know, how it compares?
Well, you know, come out, bring a helmet. it's a different, it's golf but lighter, we call it. You know, there's a lot of music, there's a lot of partying around the golf course, and it's a little less sort of staid. You know, it's not as stagnant as golf can be, that's for sure. It's a lot different atmosphere out here at Marido. It will be.
When you mention party, I think of John Daly as it pertains to golf. What's your best John Daly party story?
Oh, wow. You know, I first met John in the late 80s, and it was in South Africa. And I was leading a tournament by a shot with the last round to play. And John was a shot behind me. This is the first time I'd ever laid eyes on him. You know, it was this skinny American kid. Looked like he had a divot off both sides of his head. You know, that mullet that he had for a long time. And, you know, we got introduced in the first tee. And I went out in 29 shots. Ooh. And he was still a shot behind me. He wouldn't go away. And apart from anything else, I hadn't seen him. He was either 100 yards left, 100 yards right, or 100 yards in front of me. And he ended up winning the tournament by a shot. I three-putted the last, which pissed me off. But, you know, at the prize given, he said to me, I'm going to have a party. Do you want to come? And I looked at him. I thought, that's probably a shitty idea, but I'm going to do it. And by the time I had got to his hotel room in the Santon Sun Hotel, he had spent the check. Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. David, yeah. You've gotten to do some legendary interviews, and I'll say two of the ones that I've been most nervous for that we've gotten to do were Lisa Ann and Jerry Jones.
Wait, do you know who Lisa Ann is?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. That would be a nervous one.
Very nervous. Very interesting. But she was fantastic. I wonder for you, have you ever had that kind of nervous interaction prepping to do an interview?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I did five presidents. I mean, I had unbelievable people on that show. It ran for 10 years. You know, there were actors, musicians, business people, politicians, all kinds of criminals. And, you know, what upset me about it is it disappeared into the ether. When I was shooting the last episode of that show, nobody told me it was the last episode. Nobody knew, because the Golf Channel moved all of their staff to Stamford, Connecticut, and COVID hit at the same time. And, you know, my crew just evaporated out from underneath me, and the show just went away. There was no explanation, no chance for me to say goodbye or thank you or anything like that. But, you know, it ran for 10 years, and it was, you know, one of the great experiences of my career.
David, when I want to say, I learned that you were a gentleman face to face one day when I was at the Byron Nelson, attending the Nelson. I was sitting on the hill at 13, and you were walking up, and you were in a broadcast position as you're walking with your golfers. And you plopped down next to me in a chair, and I offered you a thin mint, a Girl Scout thin mint. You politely declined, and you said, no, thank you. And then you started into your commentary, And I just sat there and watched you call golfers on the 13th hole. And I want to say, what a great thrill. I've been around a lot of people in my life that are that type of, you know, the broadcasting world. That was the most, say, 6-7 minutes I've ever had in my life hanging around a broadcaster.
That's cool. I'm sorry I didn't accept the thin mint, but I was probably sweating like a pregnant nun.
Oh, no, you were a little, you were very moist. You had it, yeah, your shirt was,
sure was.
Your CBS shirt was stuck to you pretty good that day, but you were such a gentleman. You really, really were, and I want to thank you for that experience.
That's a pleasure. And that waist pack, you know, that we had to wear when I was on course.
Yes.
The sweat doesn't flow up in between your shoulder blades.
Right.
Oof. How much gold bond are you wearing on a day like that?
Oh, the gold bond. You know, the thing is with the gold bond, if you go in there with a handful and all the rest, and then you go into the air conditioning afterwards, it sets like a plaster cast. You need to be careful to keep moving.
Hey, David, I want to ask you real quick. We had a weird ending to a tournament on the PGA. Have you ever seen anything what Matt Kuchar did the other day? In that finish there, and I believe they were in Memphis. Have you ever seen anything where a guy marks and comes back the next day and kind of makes everybody have to come out with him?
No. That's, you know, how to make yourself popular in one easy lesson.
Sure.
Yeah, really. That was most unusual, I have to say.
David Faraday here with you on the Fan. Are you good? You got a couple of minutes? You got to go, Dave.
Oh, hey, I'm here all night.
Right on, man. Hey, because I wanted to get a chance to ask you about, you know, what this means for our, you know, transitioning North Texas golf scene. It feels kind of like we're hitting the big time here with the Live Tour event and other things happening. What would you say about, you know, what's going on or what is the latest with the North Texas golf scene?
Well, you know, the Live Golf League is a different product. It's an entirely different golf experience, but it's a phenomenal field. And the difference really, you know, between the PGA Tour and, you know, Live or the DP World Tour is we have the same field, that same, you know, world-class field every week that we play. We only play 14 weeks out of the year, but it's the same, you know, 54 players. You know, for instance, last week we had Brooks Koepka and John Rahm fighting it out, you know, over the last few holes with a bunch of other players up there as well. So, yeah, I mean, to have this in Dallas, especially for me as a Dallas resident, you know, it's pretty special.
So is there a nickname for an Irish Texan?
An Irish Texan? Oh, that's a good question. You know, I've been an American for 15 years, but I haven't passed the Texan exam yet. It's a good deal more stringent, and it should be.
I hear you, buddy. I've moved here 15 years ago myself, and I figure we could compare notes pretty good on what it takes. But in the meantime, we'll have our eyes peeled on the Live Golf Tour Team Championship September 20th through the 22nd at Merido. David, thank you so much for your time here on The Fan.
It's a pleasure, fellas.
Salute. There he goes, David Faraday here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, where are we going next? We'll check. It's top 10 time, right?
Yeah, let's do the top 10, put up a poll for the Tolos to decide. And, well, they want to go with the top 10 Texas high school football players of all time. 877-881-1053. Let's get the text line rolling. That's next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 520, we'll hit the expressway. You're about 45 minutes from LA Live. It's time now, though, for Zach Woolchuck's top 10. Here he is, the Woolly Bully, Zach with an H.
Thank you very much. We are getting close to the start of Texas high school football season. Scrimmages will be taking place across the great state today, tomorrow, next week. We'll get the first games underway for the majority of the classifications. But 877-881-1053, who do you think are some of the best high school football players ever in the great state of Texas? Do have a couple of football news just to take care of right now. A couple of items. General Booty, he's been named the starting quarterback for Louisiana Monroe. So he transferred from OU. Now he's going to get his shot as a starter. Shout out to General Booty.
Nice, dude.
We're rooting for you, man.
He's been cleaning up with the endorsement deals and stuff like that with the NIL.
Hell yeah.
He's got his own Booty brand.
As he should.
Yeah.
As he should. I mean, the Booty's a really great family. And the Bucks, we mentioned that they released Randy Gregory earlier this week. Saw one person, Aaron Wilson, of the NFL, who covered the Houston Texans for the Baltimore Sun, and he worked at the Baltimore Sun, is saying that he believes that Randy Gregory is expected to retire. So we might be on the lookout there for a potential retirement announcement from Randy Gregory.
Could be right about that.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
We love you, Randy.
People were asking me on if I'd like to see Randy play here. And I said, I don't think it's possible. I said, I wish, because I like Randy as a person.
Great dude.
Yeah. Then the guy checked me, like, wish. He doesn't want to play football anymore. I'm like, yeah, thanks for checking me there, pal. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then breaking news, the Mariners have fired manager Scott Servais, according to ESPN and multiple other outlets. So be a new manager there in Seattle. Disappointing season. I mean, that's a team with a ton of talent. They were vying, of course, for the AL West crown. It seems like Houston is going to end up getting that one. But Scott Servais now, he's been sacked in Seattle.
Yeah, the M's are having a tough time of it. They've lost 8 of 10. They're 5 games back. You know, and he's been on the job for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see the frustration builds up. And they thought this was going to be their year. You're not going to avoid it when it comes swinging for you like that. Plus, they had the big 6-game losing streak just a couple weeks back.
And the offense just hasn't been good. They made some moves at the deadline and still hasn't worked out. So the writing was kind of on the wall there. Just wondered if they'd wait till after the season. But they made the move now to move on from Scott Servais. All right, let's get into the top 10 all-time greatest Texas high school football players, 877-881-1053, 214 texting in Mahomes. Texas is the GOAT. Sergio Kendall. Woodrow Wilson. Yeah, Sergio Kendall at the University of Texas was incredible. Gets drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. If he didn't have that injury.
On a staircase, I think he fell on a staircase, dude.
Could have been incredible.
Yikes.
Sergio Kendall was a badass. Darren Lewis, running back. All-time leading rusher in WSC history. Got more Pat Mahomes love. Quan Cosby from Mart, Texas. Quan Cosby was a badass.
Third and Cosby.
Of course, yes, 972. Shout out to Superman, a.k.a. Rex Burkhead, Plano Zone. Definitely one of the best I got to watch growing up. He was incredible.
Oh, you watched all right.
All right. I sure did, baby. Earl Campbell, Jesse Armstead.
These are honorable mentions?
And you're just getting texted in.
Oh, okay.
People are just firing off texts.
All right.
Von Miller, DeSoto, Miles Garrett, Arlington Martin being texted in. Of course, Kyler, Jonathan Gray, Adrian Peterson. Matthew Stafford of Highland Park, Vince Young getting some love. I mean, it's just an embarrassment of talent that we've got here to go through. Dan Campbell, Glenn Rose, DeBrian Blanton, class of 02, Forney Jackrabbits was a running back from the 972 getting texted in.
Robert Griffin was pretty good.
RG3, absolutely.
Coppers Cove.
Michael Crabtree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's another great one, no question. Baker Mayfield being texted in. You guys got any dad?
Man, I played against Jonathan Williams, running back for Allen. Yep. Played in the NFL for some time.
I mean, that team was so loaded. Kyler, quarterback in there. Jalen Guyton at receiver, ended up going to Notre Dame. Their offensive line was loaded as well. I think Cam Little was their left tackle that ended up going to Ole Miss. Didn't quite make it into the NFL, but that dude was a monster.
Yeah, yeah, they were brutal playing against Allen. That was like the most like day after soreness of a game that you've ever had was playing against those guys. Even more than playing Trinity.
Yeah, Trinity, that their offensive defensive lines were just massive. Hmm. And Brandon Carter, who went to TCU. Brandon Carter was one of the best high school football players I ever saw. He played literally every position, also was their punter. He was an incredible, incredible talent.
Quarterback, did he switch to receiver or something?
He started at receiver, then switched to quarterback.
But then when he got to TCU, he went as a receiver.
Something happened there. Yeah, Aaron Ross, Cedric Benson getting texted in. Quinn Ewers,
Jonathan Gray.
Yep. Yeah. LaDainian Tomlinson, Lucius. You wanna give some?
Oh, hey,
love?
Hey, oh, wow, wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do. You said Cedric Benson already.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Gray.
Yep.
Tyson Thompson was amazing to watch.
Dude.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. And my favorite high school football player of all times, which I try not to fan out because he was my son's coach for a second there, Jimmy Dixon. I was like, that's your coach? Yeah. Kid, you have no idea. That's Jimmy Dixon. He's like, yeah, sure, pops.
That's Jimmy Dixon.
You have no idea who that is.
Man. Yeah, some of the honorable mentions that we got on this list. Bobby Lane from Highland Park. That's an OG. Johnny Manziel.
Oh, Tatum Bell. Oh,
Tatum
my God.
Bell, yes. Oklahoma State. Man, he was awesome. Sammy Baugh, Sweetwater.
Sweetwater, yeah.
Greg McElroy at South Lake. How about Texas State's coach now, G.J. Kinney, Canton and Gilmer?
Chase Daniel.
I mean, South Lake was just pumping him out. Trey Newton. Nate's
Trey Newton,
son,
yes.
That running back
yes.
was pretty damn good.
He was awesome. And Jackson Smith.
Rockwall's
own.
Rockwall, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Outstanding I mean, we're player. Talking about 6 touchdowns in the first half yep. of a playoff game
against
at
Allen.
AT&T Stadium versus Allen.
Yep.
Gosh,
against
he
Allen.
Was incredible.
Ryan Tannehill at Big Spring. Jalen Hurts, Channelview. Colt McCoy. Andrew Luck. Andy Dalton. Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, there's so much talent here in Texas. I mean, these are just quarterbacks that were going down. Number 10 on the list. We've got Pat Mahomes at White House. Before, of course, he became the best quarterback in the National Football League, passed for 4,619 yards, 50 touchdowns, ran for another 15 scores just as a senior, then was selected 37th overall by the Detroit Tigers in the MLB draft before he opted to go to Tech, play football, then goes in the first round, 10th overall to the Chiefs. Number 9, Drew Brees at Westlake.
Yeah.
Led the Chaps to an undefeated state championship season his senior year.
He was hurt 1 year. He didn't play that much football in high school.
He missed his junior year with a torn ACL.
I knew something was there. Yeah.
And then in 2 years as a starter, didn't lose a game. Threw for 50 touchdowns and just under 5,500 yards. Cedric Benson from Lee. 3 consecutive state championships at Lee, rushing for 8,423 yards.
Yeah, he was the whole offense.
My goodness gracious, 51 touchdowns during his stay there. He was absolutely incredible.
And you usually like high in the playoff game when you got to Midland Lee Point, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he would just put you to bed.
Unreal.
Oh, just kill all your dreams.
Man, another kid that we played against, Lake Seastrunk from Temple.
Yes.
Ended up going to Baylor. Dude had some real speed. I mean, he got to the corner. It was game over. That dude was lethal. Jonathan Gray, Alito.
Yeah.
Comes in at number 4.
All the yards.
Man, he was unreal.
Doesn't he have like the most in Texas?
I think most touchdowns, yeah, in history. 65 touchdowns in 2011. That's a state record.
I think his rushing yards, I'm looking it up just here. He's second to Ken Hall. Who was at Sugar Land in the 50s.
Yep.
Dang.
So I think he's second in he's 10,889 yards.
Dang.
He averaged 9.2 yards a carry.
But he got all the yards.
But hey, yards. Number 6 is Ken Hall.
Yeah, he's
from Sugar Land.
Yeah, he was Ken Hall. His rushing record has been held for over 70
unbelievable.
Years.
Yeah. And his single season rushing record, he ran for.
They had no game plan for this guy, clearly.
No,
yeah,
no.
Clearly.
He ran for 4,045 yards, and in his single game average was 337 yards.
Oh, my God.
That is crazy.
He was like a quarterback. Like, he was like in that era, he was like a single wing.
Yeah, hybrid
quarterback,
running
yeah,
back.
Yeah, running back. Yeah.
He just had 11. He had 10 lead blockers
on
every play.
That is so crazy.
But I don't believe he did anything in college.
Okay.
Well, because he was the wear and tear was off the charts.
I mean,
I would say he went to Texas A&M. I might be wrong about that.
You could be right, too.
Yeah.
Top 5, Eric Dickerson at number 5 from Sealy.
He's one of the best I've ever seen, regardless.
Holy cow.
Pro, college,
could you
high school.
Imagine playing against Eric Dickerson in high school?
He was good at all 3 levels.
Woo!
All 3 levels.
Man, he was the fastest to reach 10,000 yards in the NFL. Did it in just 91 games. Mm-hmm. But his junior year alone in high school, almost 3,000 yards rushing, 37 touchdowns. Then had another 2,500 yards, 45 touchdowns as a senior. Just a freak. VY, Vince Young comes in at number 4, Madison High School.
I didn't know he went to Madison.
Yeah. He had about 13,000 career total yards. Was absolutely outstanding there at
which
Madison.
Which Madison?
That's what I'm saying. Which Madison did he go to school?
Yeah, where is that at?
Madison
is
High
Dallas?
School.
No, he's not a Dallas.
He's not a Dallas guy. Yeah. I think he was a Houston guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have heard about that.
Yeah, I think he was a Houston kid.
I was wondering Madison. I'm like thinking, no way.
Yeah, I think it's in Houston.
Okay.
3 is Adrian Peterson.
Palestine, right?
Yeah, and he was, I mean, incredible. At every level, he's been incredible. But in high school, his senior year, 32 touchdowns, 3,000 yards about rushing. Earl Campbell comes in at number two.
Tyler Rose.
But number one, greatest Texas high school player of all time. And I did witness it. Kyler Murray at Allen. Never lost a game. 42-0. Three state championships. Was damn unbeatable in high school. He was like a freaking human joystick out there.
The first time I ever saw him was actually on TV.
It was unreal, man.
His speed was so... I was just... And I was...
And how small he was.
Yeah. I was a year removed from... Maybe 2 years removed from high school. And I was just watching him on TV going, oh my goodness.
I mean, look,
thank
I hate...
God, yeah. I did not have to play against that because...
He's
that,
still quicker than everybody.
That speed and quickness was like... It was jarring.
It was. I mean, it was unbelievable, and I hated every second of it. Of course, I went to Plano, and Plano hasn't beaten Allen since 2005. Shout out to Scott Sfikas and Justin Jordan and that Plano team. Justin Jordan also was fantastic at Plano. You can do some Googles on why he didn't end up doing well at Texas A&M.
A 20-year drought versus a single team?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
We declined, and then Allen took off. Mm-hmm. I mean, Allen just became a juggernaut, and now, I mean, Plano, we're not any good anymore, unfortunately. But, gosh, Kyler Murray... Heartbreak year after year after year. There's your top 10.
Great stuff, Woolchuck. Thank you so much. We're now heading for the 5 o'clock hour, including the expressway coming up at 5:20. We'll go commercial free all the way to the top, and LA Live's in there. But Chief, what are we doing next?
Football's finest. We have a big time NFC injury update, plus some news on GOAT level quarterbacks next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.